The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
If this is not a nightmare, it is the worst dream short of it that you can possibly imagine. And let's remember, nobody wants this season to be shut down. I saw some texts from players earlier today that were exhorting fellow players, wear your masks, do what we can, because if we don't, we are truly at threat for this season to be shut down. They do not believe that this is empty words from Rob Manfred.
ESPN's MLB insider Jeff Passan right there with the latest on what's going on with Major League Baseball, which feels like it might not even last the weekend. Hi, good morning. It's Gasper Murray back at our original time here on 98.5 Sports Hub. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Excellent. And I know, look, people want to talk about last night's Celtics opener, and we will do that. And I know you want to yell about Giannis Antetokounmpo. He should have fouled out. Nah. And we can rag on Jason Tatum for how terrible he looked. But we'll do that in an hour as the Sports Hub Celtics show also returns. In the meantime, there are things to talk about because it feels like baseball is teetering here, Chris. Yesterday, you had Rob Manfred call up Tony Clark, head of the MLBPA, and say, like, look, these jerks got to get in line here. Like, they're not following any of the rules. I see a lack of masks in the dugout. These idiots are going out. There's now, if you've seen the latest with the Miami Marlins, the league did an investigation into the COVID-19 outbreak with the Marlins. And according to Scott Miller of Bleacher Report, he writes, in order for a 2020 season to be conducted safely, individuals must exercise care while away from club facilities to avoid situations with the risk of contracting the virus is elevated. They found out, looking at the Marlins, who had this massive outbreak, up to like 20 players and coaches and everyone else involved with the team, they were in close proximity to one another in hotels and bars and engaging in risky behavior when they had those couple of games, those scrimmages against the Atlanta Braves before the season actually started, which I mentioned at the time on Felger and Maz. Look at the timeline. Look at the timeline of the Marlins. They were in Atlanta for a couple of nights. Atlanta, as you know, is a party city.
That's your city. They're hitting up some of your old haunts, man.
You know the Lou Williams story, what happened with he and the Clippers, and why he has been sitting out right now, because after the funeral he went to in Atlanta, he found himself at Magic City, a strip club.
Yeah. Did you hear they had the interview with the woman who danced for him?
Yeah, I saw that too. So this isn't... These guys aren't playing along. They're not doing what is supposed to be done. This is why you're seeing a spread on teams. This is why you have four more positive cases that pop up with the St. Louis Cardinals today. Well, the Cardinals and Brewers game today has been postponed. I think we're up to 30 games that have already been postponed. MLB has been officially going, Chris, for a week. It feels like it's not going to last the weekend. So, look, while I certainly have my issues with baseball, I don't want to see it go away. And I hope, my hope is how they handle this, is that they handled it how MLS did it. You know, so with the MLS's back tournament, you had a couple of teams where the virus runs rampant with Nashville and Dallas, and they just said, you know what, you're done, go home, and we're going to keep on moving on. And so, again, while I have my issues with baseball, and I do love making fun of the Red Sox, I don't want to see it go away. Like, you know, I want to see them try to push through. But as of right now, it don't feel like that's going to happen. Like, I wouldn't be shocked at all if it doesn't last the weekend. And now there's some tweets reading here from our own Kristen Arkand tweeting, you know, an ESPN alert just said that networks are preparing alternate programming in case MLB gets canceled. So, you know, the networks are preparing, so they know that something's afoot here.
Yes.
And that this is a reality that could happen by the end of the weekend. It ain't good.
It's not good. And here's the other part of this. Because the negotiations between the MLB and MLBPA were so protracted and so acrimonious, they've left themselves no pad room here. You're trying to squeeze in 60 games in, what is it, 67 days, I believe? So if you have to shut it down for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it's over. It's over because you couldn't get your act together. So this is clearly not trending in a good direction. I don't know if MLB has some sort of plan to just take teams out of circulation. I don't know if they can do that. If I were MLB, that's what I would do first, is I would just remove some of these. Like, the Marlins, to me, are gone. You got to pull them out. If you have another team, depending on how bad this is with St. Louis, we know Philadelphia was exposed because of the Marlins. Let's see how this goes. But you might have to pull multiple teams out of circulation, sort of like the MLS did with FC Dallas and the Nashville club, and just try and make sure it's even numbers and go from there. It's probably not fair to those clubs. It's certainly not fair, I would say, to a team like the Cardinals, who don't have as many infected and affected members of their team as the Marlins. But to just even it out, that would be the first thing I would try and do if I'm MLB. Can we adjust the schedule? Can we remove teams and adjust the schedule?
Yeah, and if they find, like, you know, this MLB investigation finds that the Marlins were engaging in risky behavior, such as congregating at the hotel bar and going out while in Atlanta when they were in town for those scrimmage games, like, if it comes down to that, and they find out that it's, you know, players en masse, or even if it's just a couple that aren't doing what is supposed to be done, that if they're just acting selfishly, then they should whack those teams. They should say, like, hey, look, you knew what the rules were. You didn't play along, so, you know, we're going to axe your team for this 60-game season. And tough. Like, there should be some sort of repercussions here, because it just doesn't seem like there's players that are practicing personal responsibility, you know? And if it is something like that, then there should be some sort of repercussions, and they should try to move on. My bigger thing, though, in how this has unfolded over the last day or so, and it feels like baseball is teetering, is that I hope that the NFL is watching. And because I just don't, it seems so far like the NHL and NBA have figured it out with the bubble. And I would hope, and I don't know if it's plausible, that the NFL is looking at what's going on with baseball and they realize, like, we can't do this. We can't be traveling the way that baseball teams are doing this. We can't act as if nothing is going on, because that's how baseball is going about this. Like, it's just half-assed. They just ran into this, and it's been a mess in a week. So is the NFL ready? Is there a plan? What is it? I would hope that they're keeping an eye on this, because it's abundantly clear to just go about it as normal. That's not a plan at all.
No, and I think the issue with MLB, and we'll tie it into the NFL as you're doing, but the issue with MLB really started with last Sunday, that Marlins-Phillies game. MLB needed to be more on top of that, and if they had just stopped it there, I mean, that was basically the epicenter. If they had stopped it there, I think maybe they could have controlled this thing. Instead, with 113 pages of protocol, somehow it came down to Marlins players on a group text basically saying, yeah, we know we have four or five guys with it. Do you feel safe to play? Well, I want to play. Okay, yeah, I'll play too. Well, I don't know if I want to play, but if you guys want to play, yeah, let's play. I mean, that's how a multi-billion dollar business is run. I mean, that's embarrassing. So I think the NFL, as they always do, for better and worse, will be in a situation where they will exhibit more control over the product and the player. So I think that will help one. The other thing that I've been saying is that what I think helps the NFL, Jim, is that teams play basically one game a week. And so I think that one game is so important that I think you will get guys who will sort of naturally be more disciplined and follow the protocol. And I think that you can sort of shape the week, build the week, point the week towards game day, so that when you play on game day, hopefully you have the most accurate information possible on who should be out there, who should be quarantined, contact tracing if there are positive cases. So I think that is what works in the NFL's favor, is that you're only dealing with one game a week. There's only 8 road trips a year. I think that makes it a little bit easier for the NFL. We'll see. Maybe I think a lot of times sports are a reflection of society in America. I think as a country, we've struggled to have a unified approach that works with the coronavirus and combat this. And you're seeing that right now in MLB. You know, America's pastime is reflecting America.
Oh, it totally is. It's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that, I don't know, Major League Baseball players or just professional athletes as a whole would have a little bit more responsibility.
Sure.
Tried just to see it through. You know, they would be a little bit more unified as one unit, and no, not at all. It really is. It's a microcosm of what's going on in the country. Like, I don't want to wear their mask. Don't tell me what to do. I'm still going to go out. And it's exactly that. Would you care, though, if it did go away, if it did get whacked between now and Monday? Would you really even care?
Yes,
you would.
I would care. No, I would care. I mean, you know, I know that you watch every game, every pitch.
Yeah. I have been being better.
Every out of every game with the Red Sox, so I know you will be absolutely devastated. I think we've been better when it comes to baseball. But yeah, I would miss it. I mean, it's been nice to have it back. You know, something for me that I enjoy, that I feel is sort of part of my routine and cathartic, is to just be on ESPN.com or MLB.com or the MLB app, just sifting through those box scores. It's fun. I like it. I would miss it.
I do wonder, though, if, you know, you, the sports fan, really would care that if baseball went away this year. Because even so, last night, even talking to my buddy, who's like maybe the biggest sports nut that I've ever known, so he's also kind of a purist when it comes to this game. He's like, I hate it. Like, this is all fake. You know, to go from 162 to 60, I get that they had to do something.
Whoa,
he's like,
but yeah, I agree with this. Go ahead.
He's like, I can't stand it. He's like, I just can't help myself, especially after I have a couple of drinks, looking at this and be like, this is so fake. I hate it. It's stupid. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. It's a game that's supposed to be statistically based on, you know, the long haul, and this just doesn't make any sense. It feels like a cash grab. So I wonder, though, even if you are like a hardcore sports fan like my buddy the D, do you look at this and be like, you know what, just get rid of it anyway, because I do kind of hate this because it is fake?
I hadn't thought of it from that standpoint. I mean, you know, I railed on Felger and Maz yesterday against the setup of the season. I mean, I do think that
you hate most of these changes, right?
I do. I mean, I think it's really, well, here's my issue. I think it's very gimmicky, and I feel like some of these changes I could embrace if I felt like they were addressing the core issue, which is that the players take too long in the batter's box and particularly on the pitcher's mound. I don't like the seven-inning doubleheader thing. I hate. This is not Little League. I despise that. I don't like that at all. The 60-game season, I don't love either. I really hate the 16 teams being in the playoffs. That means more than half the teams in Major League Baseball. Is that me?
I don't know.
What is that?
Why do we have these like little things playing in the background? Like,
I don't know. I don't know. You know,
the computer's agreeing with you. I agree.
I know. Well, I'm just wondering. I'm wondering if that's like my email or something's going on here. I'll try and figure it out during the break.
Is that you, B-Rob, in the back?
Yeah, that was me. Apparently, somebody just logged in 5 minutes late for some reason.
Okay. All right. That's all.
Oh, okay. So that was you?
Yeah.
That was me. My apologies.
Okay. No worries. No, because sometimes my laptop does that with Outlook. Like, even though the sound is totally off, Outlook decides it's going to play sounds. I hate the 16-team playoff thing. I think it's a complete perversion of the soul of baseball, which is about it being exclusive and it really meaning something to make the playoffs. And I'll tell you this, if they keep the season going, will they even have 16 healthy teams to be in the playoffs? Yeah, again, you might have a team make the playoffs by default, as I like to say, the two sweetest words in the English language, Homer Simpson, and Rod we trust. In fact, I trust that inanimate Carmen Rod more than I would Rob Manfred with anything. But that being the case, you might have a team. If the Red Sox can just stay healthy, even if they're sending out the Ryan Webbers of the world, they might just make the playoffs because they're healthy and eligible and still playing games, Jim.
Yeah, so look, again, baseball's my fourth sport in those top three, and then it's a precipitous drop to baseball. I just, as much as I feel that way about baseball, and like, I don't know, I've looked at it like with a shrug in recent years, I still don't want it to completely go away. Like, I'd like to see any of these leagues try to hammer through. And that means you got to do what MLS did and whack these teams and say, see ya, and we're moving on, like they did with Dallas and Nashville. If that's what you ultimately have to do with a team like the Marlins because they acted like selfish a-holes, well, then do it that way. But don't completely axe the sport. But I do wonder, would you people miss it? Do you even care at this point? 617-779-0985. It feels like baseball, oh, she's a teetering, as more Cardinals have tested positive for the coronavirus. And this is just less than 24 hours after MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred telling MLB Players Association head Tony Clark, if the sport doesn't do a better job of managing the coronavirus, we're going to shut it down, shut it down. 617-779-0985. Do you even care? Especially as the Red Sox lose again 5-1 last night as they open up a series in New York against the Yankees. And yes, we will get to the Celtics in just about 45 minutes. First Sports Hub Celtics show in 4 months as the Celtics have returned. I thought overall it was a good product. And it does seem like the NBA refs, doesn't matter if there's really technically not a literal home court advantage, if they're just saying it's a home game for the Bucks, well, they're going to treat it that way. So I know you want to yell about Giannis Antetokounmpo and him not following.
Yes, and also those people who were chirping at me about Jason Tatum after that amazing 6-for-17 exhibition game, really silent. I haven't heard from any of you on Twitter, so you have 45 minutes to check in on Twitter before the Sports Hub Celtics show. And you know, just we can just converse, have a little discourse.
What, he looked like crap. But hey, Kemba Walker looked good. So again, we'll get to all that coming up in just about 45 minutes or so. Sports Hub Celtics show. And we have another opt-out for the Patriots. We'll actually...
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It sounds like, Bill, there's going to be an opportunity for players to continue to make a decision one way or another over the course of the next week. Are you anticipating more players deciding to opt out or are you thinking that the players you have now will be the ones that you're moving into the season with?
Yeah. Well, again, Phil, I think everybody's got to make their own individual decisions on that. And, you know, they have to weigh their own situation. Each one of us is unique, and we all have different lives, situations, families, environments, and so forth and so on. So there's no two situations that are the same. Everybody will have to make their own decision on that. And, you know, I have no way of, you know, my crystal ball is kind of cloudy right now, so I have no idea what, you know, what will happen along those lines. You know, I think everybody in the league, every team in the league, every player, every coach, you know, everybody in the league is involved in that, you know, to some degree. And so we'll just have to see how it turns out.
Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. That's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick yesterday on his pre-training camp video call talking about the opt-outs that the Patriots have had. And now that number has climbed to 7 as wide receiver Marquise Lee has become the latest Patriot to opt out today. He signed with the Patriots leading into the NFL draft back in April. And he had been banged up in Jacksonville. Nice player when he's healthy. But now you have him joining Brandon Bolden, Danny Vitale, Marcus Cannon, Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, Najee Torin. You are up to 7 opt-outs on the Patriots. And the reason behind this, too, I'm reading from ESPN here. Lee telling ESPN he had become a first-time father in February. Said protecting his newborn, newborn daughter and family is at the core of his decision, saying, quote, "This is a big sit-down process I had with me and my significant other. As far as family goes, the risk factor in which we believe that's going on out there, it just wasn't worth it in a sense. Just too many unknowns," and he does plan to play in 2021. I don't know, though, Chris, is there something up here? Because while you have these opt-outs, we knew they were going to be coming. NFL players have now until midweek, I think you said yesterday. I thought it was tomorrow.
Well, it's whenever they sign it. So it's supposed to be 5 days after the agreement is formally signed or, you know, formalized between the NFL and the NFLPA. And I think as of yesterday, that still had not happened. So I'm not sure what the – I think the assumption was it will happen Friday, so that would be Saturday, Sunday into Wednesday. So I don't know what the final date will end up being. Originally, it was supposed to be August 3rd, which is Monday, but it's supposed to be 5 days after everything's finalized.
Okay. But you're now up to 7 Patriots players. And yes, I think at its core it is simply about COVID concerns. They don't want to bring the bug home, spread it to a family member, a newborn, mother. You know, in Dante Hightower's case, she's diabetic. So I understand all that. And I think that is, you know, like 90% of it. But what about maybe that 10 to 5%? Like, is there something else afoot here? Because there are more players that have opted out with the Patriots than any other team.
I think it's just an accumulation of individual situations. And I do think, like, Marquise Lee hasn't been here. And he has a situation with a young child, as you just mentioned. Now, do I think it's easier for some guys, even if it's on a subconscious level, to opt out, knowing that they've reached the pinnacle of their profession before? If you're somebody like, you know, Patrick Chung or Dante Hightower, I don't think that's what's driving your decision. But even on a subconscious level, do you feel more at peace, at ease, stepping away for the season, putting your family first, if you've reached the pinnacle of your profession and won multiple Super Bowls? I do think that helps. I mean, if you're a guy like, say, you know, Drew Brees, who's won a Super Bowl, but you have a team that's really good that can win this year. Or you're Malcolm Jenkins, who's also won a Super Bowl with Philadelphia, but you're under that same Saints team that is really, really good. I think it's a little bit harder, you know? I'll use, like, you know, Alvin Kamara. He's never won a Super Bowl. Let's say there's a situation in his life. I think it's harder for him to walk away because he's never reached the pinnacle of his profession.
Well, I think a good example of that is Damian Williams, right? So he's, I think, one of the bigger opt-out names. I think it's Hightower and then him, and you could even made a case for him to win Super Bowl MVP last year. He was a big factor in that win over the 49ers. You know, if they didn't win that game, does he opt out? I don't know. Probably not. You know, I do think I do think one of the things that is up here, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, like you say, is that the Patriots are victims of their own success. In the cases of Hightower, Marcus Cannon, Patrick Chung, these guys have been here for basically like a decade each, respectively. They've all won at the highest level multiple times. What else is there really to accomplish if you look at this as a fake season or too weird or you're just too concerned about COVID? Like, I get all that. These guys that haven't been here, especially in the case of Danny Vitale, who I think you know, some people would scoff. I wouldn't. I think fullback actually matters in this team's offense. Like, that guy, I kind of think, is also a loss, too. But he hadn't been here. And so what was his thing, too? Did he also have a newborn?
Danny Vitale, yes.
Yeah, so, yes. Okay. And he and Marquise Lee, like, those are the ones I think are a little bit more interesting. It's like, okay, what's going on there? Like, you were just signed here as free agents, and is it just that simple? I guess, but I don't know. Seven's a high number. I can understand why someone would think that there's something behind it. Maybe the Bill Belichick luster has gone away a little bit because you don't see any opt-outs in Tampa, right? Like,
yeah, sure.
You know,
but those guys haven't won anything.
Yeah.
That's kind of my point. You know, I don't think it's the driving force, but I do think, again, even on a subconscious level, it makes it easier because what is the trade-off? You know, I think you can say, hey, I've won a Super Bowl. I've been to the mountaintop, and now I can prioritize my family. I think for some other guys, they want to prioritize their family, but there's this conflict there of, is this the best chance I'll ever have? Is this the only chance I'll ever have to accomplish this thing in my life? Am I walking away from my chance to win a Super Bowl? And I think that makes it a little bit more of a difficult decision for some guys, Jim.
Here's a hypothetical for you. Say, yes. Cam Newton, you always have to use the caveat, if Cam Newton's healthy. So healthy Cam Newton, say he adds 2 wins to what you thought the Patriots were going to be before he was here. So that makes them now, I don't know, 10-6, maybe 11-5. Do all these players opting out, especially Hightower, who I do think is important, does that almost negate that, and now they kind of fall back to a 9-7, 8-8 team?
I don't think so. I think what it does is it puts more onus on the coaching staff, Bill Belichick, I think Gerard Mayo, Stephen Belichick on that side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball, because I thought that even though they'd suffered some pretty significant losses on the defensive side, Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins come to mind immediately, I still thought that this was going to be a defense first team, that you had a defense that was, you know, out of the box, ready to be one of the best defenses in the NFL. Well, now there's more coaching and patching that needs to be done. I think you have to build some sort of team identity. I thought the identity would be defense first. Now you look at that linebacker level, that second level of the defense, it's been decimated. Where do you go from there? And it's going to be up to Belichick. And I think this could be one of those years where at the linebacker position, they're telling you they have some unbelievable gem they found. And it's like Gary Guyton, who was a solid NFL player, great guy, loved covering him, tremendous guy. But it was like, oh my God, we found this, you know, it's like we found, who's the linebacker I'm trying to think of who played with Josh McDaniels at John Carroll, played London Fletcher. It's like, oh, we found London Fletcher, you know, this diamond in the rough type. And it was like, no, he actually was just like the best you had. It's like, you know, like when you have a hole in your tire and you just like patch it, they have that sealant.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically what he was. It was like, it wasn't like you got a nice new tire. It's like you just put the sealant on, but you know, eventually down the road, you're going to have to replace that thing.
Yeah, I just, that's a position, linebacker as a whole, I didn't feel great about, even with Dante Hightower there, and that was the one, you know, these opt-outs, again, I expected them to happen, and credit me, pat myself on the back, I had heard about Marcus Cannon days before it was officially announced.
Yes, you broke that story.
Scoops McGee over here. So I expected there was going to be some, but the Hightower one, that was the one I was like, holy crap, wow, I mean, that guy means a lot to the defense, he wears the green dot, he's like the QB of the defense, oh my God. So I didn't feel even great about it, though, even when he was there. Now, so it'll be what, Jawan Bentley and who the hell knows, you know, and hope that these kids
that
they
Brandon
just drafted,
Copeland. What's the kid?
Anthony Jennings, who they just drafted, or Josh Uche will be able to be.
Cash Malua. I can't even pronounce his name. The Scooter Harris kid, who's an undrafted free agent from Arkansas, who they like. I think you're going to see a lot of those guys. And it'll be interesting to see if Bill ends up bringing in another veteran guy just for a little more competition. I know that Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal pointed out that Clay Matthews is still out there.
Oh, he's so washed up.
Nigel Bradham's still out there. Actually, Clay Matthews, I mean, he has a hard time staying on the field. But, you know, he got after it last year in terms of sacks. And he's played off the line linebacker before. And never forget this, the family connection. Bill Belichick, you know, the Clay Matthews senior, I mean, he might want to, you know, just bring the kid in. Nigel Bradham, as I mentioned, is also out there. So it makes some sense. They have this cap room now for them to bring in another veteran guy to try and fortify that position.
All right, more on Bill Belichick's press conference from yesterday. And again, the question is still lingering out there like a fart. If baseball is to go away, do you even really care? Because it feels like baseball is teetering. You have 4 more positive tests for the St. Louis Cardinals today. Game 2 of their series that was supposed to open last night against the Brewers, canceled. Postponed. I think we're up to over 30 games that have already been whacked so far collectively throughout Major League Baseball, and it's only been going for a week. But do you even care? 617-779-0985. More from Bill Belichick and your calls next here on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What appealed to you to bring Cam Newton to the team? And at this time of year, in the past couple decades, there hasn't been too much of a question as to who will play quarterback for you. How are you approaching that specific spot this year?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that spot's the same as all the other spots on the team. You know, we got a long way to go, and, you know, we'll see how things turn out. You know, I can't control how players perform. That's up to them. We'll give everybody an opportunity and, you know, see what happens.
ESPN's Mike Reese asking Bill Belichick yesterday in his pre-training camp video call, first time we've heard from him since around the draft, about Cam Newton, the Patriots' new starting quarterback. At least that's how I look at it. I refuse to acknowledge, well, there's going to be a quarterback competition, but I don't know, Gasper. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports. Bill, making it sound like there is going to be a competition like there is at every other position. No job is given. It must be earned.
Because that's his default position, and he doesn't want anybody to come in here feeling entitled, including Cam Newton, and he feels like that's the best way to get the most out of Cam Newton. And also Stidham, and I think they like Stidham long-term, so they don't want him to get discouraged. They want him to feel like he has a chance here. I think he does if he plays, like, you know, amazingly, and Cam Newton stinks, but this is Cam Newton's job. You know, when they brought in Cam Newton, I was talking to somebody over there, and they basically said this was going to happen, that, you know, Cam Newton's the guy, but Bill's going to act like it's a competition because that's the way Bill's wired. So I think this is going exactly to script. And also, you know, Bill acknowledged something I had reported there yesterday in his press, in his WebEx meeting. He acknowledged something I reported when they signed him, which is that he had had extensive conversations. He had been talking to Cam Newton all along. So I think Bill Belichick and the Patriots kind of snowed a lot of people on their lack of interest in Cam Newton throughout the offseason. I think they were a lot more interested than they let on, and I think that was strategic. So, I mean, I feel like Cam Newton's the guy unless he gets hurt or he looks horrible, or Stidham looks like Aaron Rodgers during the preseason. And even then, you know, if Newton is healthy and looks halfway decent, even if Stidham does outplay him, I still think it's Newton for this reason. It's much easier to go from Newton to Stidham than it is to go from Stidham to Newton. I don't see Newton being content as to being the backup to a guy who's thrown four NFL passes, one of which was taken back for a pick six.
Oh, yeah, they know there's no way they could do that.
What's the font Newton has for FU if he ends up being the backup? Right. What does that look like?
All that was to me was lip service when they got to the Cam Newton stuff yesterday. But there were some other things that stood out to you in this WebEx press conference, specifically how he talked about the preseason.
I thought this was the most intriguing part of Bill Belichick's press conference from a football standpoint. He was asked a question about not having any preseason games and how that would affect things. And he was really definitive and declarative about the idea of, look, college football does this all the time. There are no preseason games. There are no exhibition games. In college football, they go to camp, they practice. They don't even have like the equivalent of the spring game, which is, you know, really a controlled scrimmage that's very much like an intra-squad game. They don't even have that a lot of times in these summer camps. And he's saying, well, college football has been doing this for forever. It can be done. So I think that Bill Belichick will be ahead of the curve like he always is. He'll tap into his buddies in college football, Nick Saban, Chip Kelly, Kirk Ferentz, who's in a little bit of trouble at Iowa, but he'll tap into those guys. You know, how do you get a team ready? You know, what's the best way to do this without preseason games? What do you do? And I think that the Patriots will probably, it's interesting because normally we talk about when we say, well, Bill treats the first four games of the season as an extension of training camp, as an extension of the preseason. But I think it could be a little different this year in that I think the Patriots might be more prepared, more ready to go than other teams without preseason games because he's going to crib a preparation plan from his college buddies.
Hmm. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I think that's really, like, it sounded like just based on his answer, he's given this a lot of thought. Yeah. He's given it a lot of thought, and I think the Patriots will be more prepared than other teams. That really sort of caught my ear and piqued my interest, his response to that question.
And overall, I thought he came off as personable and human as he
did.
Has in maybe ever that I can remember, you know. And even at the end, he wraps it up with, you know, stay safe, everyone.
You said stay safe, stay healthy. Good. Yeah. He said, good, you know, good to see you guys. Like, yeah, it was, It was, he sort of peeled back the curtain a little bit.
Well, part of that, too, you know, good to see you guys. I think it's a guy that loves to work. Isn't that evident? Like, you know, the guy loves the grind of the whole thing. He wants to try to get back to normal. Like, look, we're living in a crazy, unprecedented time. But if you can have some sort of normalcy, and that is your work, you know, it probably feels good for the guy to be back there and having to deal with these vultures.
I mean, I'll tell a quick story. As combative as Bill can be and as contentious as it can be at times with the media, the late Danny Pyers, who passed away, who worked for the New Bedford Standard Times. When he passed away, Bill Belichick was at Danny's funeral and talked to the family. He attended it in person and talked to the family and talked about how much he respected the work that had been done. So he does have some respect there. And I think he also sort of likes this group of beat writers. I always say, I mean, I don't think the beat's ever been better. These guys and women do a fantastic job on the beat. And I think a lot of them are really into the nuts and bolts of football, which is right up Bill's alley,
for sure.
As opposed to asking, you know, some questions that maybe Bill would be a little more uncomfortable with. So I think he has a good relationship, you know, by Bill standards with the media right now.
Ryan in the car, you're first up here this morning on Gaspar Murray on the Patriots. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey guys, great show. Glad to have 2 days of you guys. So I have kind of a crazy theory about next season with so many of the Patriots opting out. What if they think of the season just as a wash and maybe picking up someone in the draft next year and kind of rebuilding a little bit? Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ryan. I know this is a big national talking point.
Yeah.
What's his name? Colin Cowherd of FS1. We played some of the clips on Felger and Maz a few days ago. Like, he's just got this whole theory that it's not a tanking for Trevor. It's a rebuilding. It's a whole process. Of course, yeah. Bill has something going on. Like, yeah, all right. No, that's just, I refuse to believe that only because Bill won't tank. Bill is trying to pass Don Shula for the wins record. The man doesn't have it in his body. A bad season, rock bottom for this team. If they were to, you know, quote unquote tank, what would that be? 6-10, 7-9 at worst? They're not bad enough.
And that's not good enough to get the number one pick. It's not bad enough. That's the right way to put it.
Well, yeah, and they still, you know, while I have, you know, concerns of certain areas, linebacker, wide receiver, they still, you know, their secondary might be top three or the best in the league, as long as the McCourties are still there. You know, it's just they're not going to be bad enough to do it. He wouldn't allow it. And he gets the best out of role players that you've never heard of before. Like John Simon, decent piece. Look what he turned Kyle Van Noy into. So, no, I don't think there's some master plan to win never for Trevor or, yeah, we have to sow the fields, get Justin Fields, like whatever it happens to be. Like whatever dumb little thing you want to put on it, that's not going to happen. If they sucked, their suck would be 7-9, 6-10. That's not good enough to get one of these potentially franchise-changing quarterbacks.
Well, the other thing I'd say, too, is that I would maybe subscribe to this theory if they somehow cut Cam Newton and just go with Stidham, because then I feel like, okay, you're going with an inexperienced guy. Or if they sort of cut Cam Newton and start with Hoyer, and like, we'll get to Stidham later.
Then we can talk.
You know, because I know you're a big Hoyer fan. He's only lost his last 10 starts in the NFL.
He stinks.
But I think that when you look at the Patriots and the idea of that, here's the problem with that, if you're doing that. They haven't drafted well the last couple of years, and it's not just about quarterback. So great, you get your quarterback of the future, but how do you start to replace guys like Dante Hightower, like the McCourties, like eventually Julian Edelman? Like, you have an aging team. The better players on your team are older guys, and you need to be able to capitalize on their talent while you still can. So how does that jive with tanking this year? That doesn't make sense to me.
Not at all. No. We have Frank the Tank. I had asked the
Speaking
question.
Speaking of tanking.
Asked the question, as baseball sounds like it could be done by the end of the weekend. Do you even care if baseball went away in this 60-game season this year? Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, guys. First off, real quick, you guys got that plexiglass in between you?
We do, yes. It's like we're bankers now.
So has anybody tried to smush their face up against it, or has Zoe tried to wipe a booger on it?
I got to say, you know, looking at the one that's to my left, there's too many fingerprints for my liking on this thing. So I don't know if someone's tried to do bits or, like, wipe their greasy face on it, but it does feel like it's been touched a little bit too much.
Yeah, I would imagine that Zoe's mayonnaise-stained hand would be printed on it by this point.
All a matter of time.
I know I'm going to kind of sound a little biased here because I love football and hockey more than anything, but I always thought that it would be the football and the hockey players who would kind of control themselves a little bit. Football, because of, you know, it's only one game a week, and hockey because it's just the way that they all pretty much grew up, the more of a family kind of atmosphere. They all kind of, I mean, even the guys who fight each other on the ice will have a beer with one another afterwards. And, you know, everybody's stuck in this whole thing of, you know, you got to be self-aware for everybody else and this and that. for those baseball guys, I mean, their season, 162 games, and it's getting cut down to 60 games, which, you know, whatever, I'm not a fan of. I'm not a fan of that stupid seven-inning doubleheader thing either. I mean, who? I mean, what are they going to do next? Assign somebody to bring the bubble gum to the game? You know, it's like...
Orange,
you know,
slices.
It's just like, have a little bit. I understand. It's like what I'd mentioned to you guys before. I understand some of these guys are young and they want to go out and have fun, and that's fine. But you know what? Everybody else in the world right now, some people can't go to work. Some people can't do this, and they're all stuck together. And I know that there's a thing of, you know, don't compare life to professional athletes. Well, sorry. Life is now blending everybody in together. So it surprises me that more married couples and retired couples don't kill each other because they're spending too much time together. But, you know, get your head out of your ass. You're with a whole bunch of other guys who are trying to make money, trying to, you know, succeed in their profession. And you're going to go out as a group and go out with other people and potentially infect everyone else. A little bit of personal responsibility here, boys, for yourselves, for your teammates, and most of all, us, the fans, who are sick and tired of having to compromise and watch their wives' stupid-ass shows when there's nothing else on TV. Please, give me a baseball game. Give me football. Give me everything. Stop being dumbasses and take care of each other.
Thanks for the call, Frank. Yeah, that's the best way to put it. You know, just, you know, embrace the suck. And just for a couple of months, it's not even that big of an ask. And I'm talking about 5-6 months here, guys. Like, for whatever your sport happens to be, just, like, stay in. You know, hang in your hotel if you have to, and just make sure you have your video games to keep yourself occupied during those downtimes. And that's it. Like, don't, it's because the Marlins thing, I think, is the most infuriating thing. Like, okay, they're there for a couple of scrimmages, and those guys end up going out, and that's ultimately how they caught it and spread it. Again, just for a couple of months, guys, can you just hang in your hotels and just play along? And it's tough for me, Chris, because as you know, like, I don't like being the finger.
Yeah, you're not a guy.
Yeah, I'm not a guy.
And this is a situation where it's like, you got to stay in the room.
But in these small microcosms of society and professional sports where they're just asking you just for a few months, can you just do the right thing? I don't think that is that big of an ask, even if you don't like it. Like, just wear the mask, stay in. Like, that's it for a couple of months for the greater good of our sports. We can make our money and put it out there in these difficult times. I don't think that that's that big of an ask, and it's frustrating because, like Frank, and I don't mind a 90-day fiance here and there. I can watch some of the wife shows. In fact, I like them. But at some point, you do want to have the background noise of a baseball game, even though if I'm not the biggest baseball fan. Like, it's just good. And like I hate to see just the give up in segments of society. Like, oh well, didn't work. Got to shut it down. Like, while I'm not the biggest baseball guy, I'd hate to see that happen. If you have to whack a team like the Marlins and kick them out for the 60-game season, so be it and figure it out. But don't shut the whole damn thing down just because guys were irresponsible.
Well, I think here's the other issue we're not discussing is, you know, where were they? They were in Georgia with a governor in Brian Kemp who has been really resistant to the traditional measures in terms of trying to combat COVID.
Yeah.
So, again, like I sort of opened the show when I said it's a microcosm of what's happening in America. You can't separate what these guys are trying to do from what's happening in the country. As somebody pointed out, well, why was the hotel bar open? I mean, that's because the governor of Georgia doesn't care, and he's just going to do whatever he wants. And so they're in a place, in a state that's not taking the coronavirus as seriously as they need to. The players had an opportunity. They should have exercised better judgment. But you can say the same thing about the governor of the state. And this is what you get when you have a piecemeal national approach.
Oh, yeah, no argument there. Boy, are we effed. In fact, there's even an update on why the Cardinals might have caught the COVID.
Ooh.
And if you didn't like the Marlins excuse, you won't like this one either. We'll get to that coming up next. Long commercial-free segment that will also segue into the first Sports Hub Celtics show in months as the Celtics actually returned to real action last night in the Orlando bubble against the Milwaukee Bucks. I know you want to whine about the non-call against Giannis. They reversed it. Oh, he should have been tossed out of the game. He should have fouled out. Oh, yeah, babies. We'll get to that coming up at the top of the hour as well here on Gasper and Murray.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub Celtics show starting in just a few minutes. We get into last night's game as the Celtics return and the loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. A lot to unpack from that one. But like I said, prior to the commercial break, I had an update on the St. Louis Cardinals, who had four more positive COVID tests reported today. Their second game in their series with the Milwaukee Brewers has been postponed. Feels like baseball is teetering. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred reportedly called up Tony Clark, head of the Players Association, yesterday, screamed at him, said, look, the player's going to basically stop being dicks and be a little bit more responsible. So how did the Cardinals get it? We know the Marlins went to a club, and it was, you know, they went out in Atlanta, and they had those couple of scrimmages against the Braves, weren't practicing personal responsibility. It's a whole mess. What were the Cardinals up to? Because we haven't really seen any speculative reports about the Cardinals. Well, maybe they just caught it. You know, this virus, we know so precious little about it. No, it turns out it probably comes down to lack of personal responsibility again. Reading from Jerry Hairston Jr., former MLB player, the Dodgers.
Oh, I remember him.
Yeah. He tweeted just a short time ago, hearing a few Cardinals went to a casino.
Oh,
that's not following protocols. MLB players are furious because 28 other teams have worked hard to follow the guidelines. Hashtag shake my head, SMH. Marlins go to a club in Atlanta. They go out and party. Cardinals go to a casino. Again, this is what it comes down to. And so I don't, even though I'm not the biggest baseball guy, clearly, I don't want to see the sport shut down. But there needs to be harsh punishments here. So do what MLS did. Eliminate the Cardinals. Eliminate the Marlins today. Send a warning to the rest of the teams in MLB, and really a warning to the rest of sports. Because I did, initially with the outbreak, as the numbers really rised to the level that they did with the Marlins, Chris, I was trying to, believe it or not, the eternal pessimist here, look at it as a positive and say, you know what, there can be the good in this. And maybe other sports can learn from this and say, oh, man, maybe we should stay in and actually follow the rules and wear the masks and so on and so forth. But clearly that didn't happen as the Cardinals go to a casino and now the COVID is running rampant with the Cardinals as well. So,
did we know where the casino was? Was it in the, you know, obviously there are casinos in the Missouri area. Were they on the road or were they at home?
Where were they prior? I can't speak to that. I got to look up what their schedule was. But, you know, so it is good to know that, you know, there are some players in sports that look at this and say, look, we got to be better. I'm just reading from a tweet from Dolphin safety Bobby McCain, who just sent this out with like within the last 20 minutes. You got to hold your brothers accountable as far as stepping out and going to dinner with a lot of people, going to nightclubs, going to bars, being with different women. Whatever you bring home, you're bringing to the family. It's definitely going to take a lot of discipline. The most disciplined team will end up playing the most games and being the healthiest at the end of the day. And that part I agree with.
That's well wholeheartedly. Put. That's really well put.
And it's why I won't put an asterisk on any champion, the championship.
Oh, I will.
Champion for any of these teams. Well, there's some exceptions.
Yeah. I was no asterisk until we got to the 7-inning doubleheaders.
Okay.
I was like, oh, in 1981, the Dodgers won. They only played like, I don't know, 9 games. Go back and look at that season. It was an expanded playoff. I was like, no, you know, people won't remember. But when we got to the 7-inning doubleheaders, I'm like, yeah, it's asterisk time.
Okay, but still, I do think there is something to what Bobby McCain is saying in that the mental discipline, the focus that it's going to take to do the right thing, and just to, even while you're on on the floor or the grass or the court or whatever, like, just to not look around and be like, oh, this is whack. Like, I don't care. I'm going to half-ass this because I don't even want to be here anyway. It feels fake. Just to hammer through that and get through that, I think that's going to take a lot, and that's why, you know, I'll give credit to anyone that actually ends up winning their championship. Well, we'll see if the time comes. If the Red Sox win a championship.
I mean, I'm not going to put it on the NBA or the NHL, but with MLB, with all these wackadoo rules, yeah. I've changed on that. I was no asterisk on MLB. If MLB somehow makes it through, you know, I could flip-flop again. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm an indecisive person. But right now, I'm so angry about this 7-inning doubleheader thing, which I just think is a joke, that I'm saying it's an – and also the playoff. Like, when I said no asterisk, that was before they had gone to the 16-team playoff and before the 7-inning doubleheaders.
All right, well, let's get to the Celtics right after the Sports Hub headlines here as we tip off the first Sports Hub Celtics show in quite some time. Months. Many, many months as the Celtics returned last night in a loss to the Bucks. We'll get to that right after the Sports Hub headlines here on 98.5 Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.